Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Good morning and welcome. The portion for Sheni, Monday of Kedoshim. And in general, the portion of Kedoshim is an interesting portion. It has a total of 64 verses, as we talked in the Sunday portion. And within these 64 verses, there are 51 commandments. That's like nearly 10% of the 613 commandments. 13 positive commandments and 38 negative commandments. Beginning here with verse 15. Lo sasu ovel bamishpot. Do not engage in unrighteousness, in perversion, in judgment. And this has to do with the courts. Lo sisa pnei dol. Do not recognize and give extra respect to a poor man. And there are different people who have different natures. Some people are very sympathetic to poor people. They're going to give great honor to the poor. V'leisedar pnei godol. Others will be more sympathetic to the rich and give great honor to the rich. So the Torah says, don't uplift the countenance of the poor. Don't beautify the countenance of the rich. B'tzedek tishpeit amisecha. Judge your fellow with righteousness. Just do the right thing. Rashi 15, Leisasu Obel Bamishpat, Melamedis teaches us, Shahadayun Hamakalkalis Hadin, that a judge who perverts justice, Kori, is referred to by the Torah with some unflattering terms. Avol, a wrongdoer, Sonui, someone who's despised, Umeshukats, abominable, Chedem, accursed, Toyeva, abomination. Sheha'o'avol, because a wrongdoer or wrong deeds, Kori is called Toyeva, abomination. Shenemar kiteyavas Hashem, kol eise ovel, va'toyeva kori chedim. An abomination is called a curse, detested. V'sheket shenemar v'leisavi Toyeva be'secha. Do not bring abomination into your house. V'yayisa chedim kameyu. You'll become accursed by it. Shaketz tishaktsenu. You shall surely detest it. And therefore the Torah uses these severe terms describing perversion in the court system. Do not say, Oni huzeh, this litigant is a poor man. V'ha'osher, and his opposition, his opposing litigant, is rich. Chayiv lefarnasei, by Torah, the rich are obligated to support the poor. Azakenu bedin, let me find favor for him in this particular court case, v'nimtza misparnas b'nekiyas. At least he'll make a living with honor. Says the Torah, don't confuse charity with justice. Justice is justice and charity is charity. V'leisedar pnei godl. Don't beautify, favor the countenance of a great man. Shalai tema, don't say, oshir huzeh, this guy's wealthy. Ben g'daylim huzeh, he comes from a VIP family. Heich avai shenu, how can I embarrass him? Ve'ereb b'boshta, I can see his shame. That would be terrible. Says the Torah, onesh yesh b'dover, there's a punishment if the judge acts in that manner. L'kach nema v'leisedar pnei godl, do not beautify the countenance of a mighty person. Tzedek tishpeit amisecha kimishmoi, literally, that you should judge people righteously. Davar acher, another meaning, have donas chavercha lekapschus. Always judge your fellow in the scale of merit. Always give people the benefit of the doubt. And that comes from Pirkei Avos. It's an old Indian saying, never judge a man till you walk a mile in his moccasin, as the funny interpretation goes. After that, you can judge him, because first of all, he's a mile away from you. Second of all, you have his shoes. He can't catch you. Verse 16, now we come to a whole different mitzvah here. This has to do with rechilus, with gossip mongering, just talking and talking and talking. There's lashon hara, that's evil talk, and then there's just gossip, meaningless talk. Don't be a talebearer amongst your people. Do not stand over the blood of your neighbor. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. 16. I say, in my opinion, says Rashi, why is this called Telech Rachel? Because all people who incite quarrels, umesaper loshon hara, those who relate gossip, heilchem bebatereihem, go to their friends' houses, leragel, to spy, to check out, mayishmura, what evil they're here, or they're going to listen, they're going to be able to hear, lesaper bashuk, to relate in the marketplace. Nikroim, they're called heilchei rachel, heilchei regila, those who go about spying, apisman in Old French. V'roye ledvarei, to prove it, shalei matzino rechila shein kosev, B'loshen Alicha, we don't find tail bearing where it doesn't say the word going. Le'sei lech rochel, going and tail bearing. Ho'cha rechilus, or necheshes barzel, going as tail bearers. Oshar loshen hara, other evil talking, kosa be'alicha, doesn't say going. Me'loshni b'sei sereya, loshen remiya, loshen medaberes gedeles. L'kachani yemer, therefore, says Rashi, I say that this expression of going and tail bearing is gossip mongering. Sha'loshen heilech umarago, the language going, Shachof nechlepes begimel, a chof and a gimel interchange. Shakola esis shemitzayim imakam echad, all letters that come from one pronunciation source, mischalfe zubazu, interact with one another. You have the system of bumf, beis, vav, mem, fe. The beis and the pe, gimel and the chof, kuf, nun, melamed, zayim, betzadik, vechein, vayiragal, babdecho, rigal, bemirma, leimer, alayro, vechein, leirogal, alashayne, vechein, reichel, so reichel is like rogil. One who goes around and searches for merchandise. So also somebody who is a door-to-door perfume salesperson. Which women adorn themselves. Because he goes from town to town. Nikri is called Reichel, a traveler. Like a spy. Don't eat the bread of destruction. To inform against him to the king. Nira be'enai shayim mishpatim, that their culture was lechel, to eat, be'beis ha'makabal divreim, in the home of those who received their words. Shum altar, they would have a little snack. Like today you say, let's have a cup of coffee and trash somebody. V'gumar chizuk, it's a confirmation, shedvarim mekuyamim, that his words are established, v'yamidim ala emes, and it'll be considered true, v'eisa halot, and that snack, nikras, is called achilas kurtzin, the eating of this food. It's the custom of those who go about tail-bearing. They wink with their eyes, and to hint at their slander, that people shouldn't understand. Now comes another mitzvah, don't stand over the blood of your fellow, to see somebody dying. You can save him, and you're not going to do anything about it. Again, for example, Teveya Banor, if you see somebody, God forbid, drowning in a river, and you don't save them. Vechaya, if you see somebody, God forbid, attacked by an animal, at least more by robbers, Boyamolov, we have to do what we can to save someone else. That's a very important mitzvah. Don't stand over the blood of your fellow. Ani Hashem, Neman the Kabal Sacha, Benemeli Pareya. I am trustworthy to pay reward and to punish. Now comes a very famous verse. 17, Leisisna esachicha bilbavecha. Do not despise your brother in your heart. Heicheach teichiach esamisecha. You shall surely rebuke your fellow. Veleisisa olav chet, and do not bear a grudge. There are various interpretations to this verse. Leisisa olav chet, Rashi says, Leisalbin espona berabim, don't embarrass him publicly. To publicly embarrass somebody is terrible. In the simple interpretation, verse 17 says, if you hate someone in your heart, you're going to build up hatred. You have to rather speak it out. You walk over to someone and say, you know, you really hurt me. Why would you have done that? And that way you don't bear a grudge. And that is a mitzvah in the Torah, that when we have something against someone, we have to verbalize it, difficult as it is. Because many people say, hey, I'm not confrontational. I don't know how to verbalize it. We have to learn how to verbalize it. Otherwise, if you walk around with animosity and hatred in your heart, one day it's going to burst. And these people who allow this to build up then have to go to anger management classes because they only let it come out in anger, and that's even worse. This is the importance of being open, sensitively open with someone when they harm us, God forbid. The next mitzvah, good morning. Leisikeim, do not take vengeance. V'leisiter, do not bear grudge as b'nei amecha to fellow Jews. V'ahapto l'reyacha kamocha, love your fellow as you love yourself. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Rashi, what does it mean to take vengeance? Leisikeim omar lei. What if one person says to the other, do me a favor, hashileni magolcha, lend me your sickle, I need to go cut my weeds, I need to go cut my grass. Omar lei lav, he says, absolutely not. I will not lend you my sickle. Lamachar, the next day, omar lei, the guy who's refused to lend him the sickle, says to him, hashileni kardumach, lend me your axe. I have to go chop some wood. Omar lei, he says to him, eini mashilcha, I will not lend it to you. Kederech shalei yishaltani, just like you didn't lend it to me. Tit for tat. Zehi nekima, this is vengeance. Taking revenge, even though the guy refused to lend it to you yesterday, go the extra mile and lend it to him today. The ezehi netira, what is netira? Like bearing a grudge. Amar lei, the scenario is, he says to him, Ashileni es kardumcha, lend me your axe. Amar lei lav, says no. Lamacha, the next day, Amar lei, the guy says to him, Ashileni magalcha, lend me your sickle. Amar lei, he says to him, hey loch, here I will lend it to you. I'm not like you. Eini kimeischa, I'm not like you. Shalei yishaltani, you refused. Zui netira, this is bearing the grudge. He builds up the grudge in his heart. Afal pishei nenekim, even though he doesn't take revenge. In any event, these are two difficult mitzvahs. Because human nature is either to say no, or to say, I'm not like you, yes. V'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, this is the famous statement of love your fellow as yourself. Omar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, zeh, this mitzvah, klal godel, is a very fundamental principle b'Torah, in the Torah. And when the Rebbe chose 12 verses and teachings of the oral law for children to memorize, because they represent the most fundamental teachings of Torah, one of them was v'ahavta l'reyacha kamocha, omar Rabbi Akiva, zeh klal godel b'Torah. Love your fellow as yourself, Rabbi Akiva says, this is a fundamental principle in the Torah. Interesting, I want to just point out that it's very difficult to apply this mitzvah. How is it possible to love anyone like you love yourself? We all love ourselves more than we can possibly love anyone else. And there are various applications as to what this means. It means act that way and so on. But in order to truly understand this, there's an amazing chapter in Tanya called chapter 32, Pedek Lamed Beis, also known as Pedek Lev, the heart of Tanya, which explains the meaning of how we can actually live this precept. Verse 19, Es chukesai tishmeru, you must observe my statutes. Behem techa leisar biaklayim, you may not cause your animals to crossbreed. Sod chole sizra kloyim, you may not plant your field with two different kinds of seed. Or beg at kloyim shatnes, and a garment of wool and linen mixed together. Le'yal alecha, you shall not place upon yourself. Rashi, es chukesai tishmeru, you must observe my statutes. There are three types of mitzvahs. One type is edus, testimonial laws, which commemorate something. The other is chukim, statutes, laws without reason. And the third are mishpotim, civil laws, ordinances. These are laws without reason. Chukim, ve'eluhein, and these are they, behem t'chalei sabia kloyim. Chukim, elu, these statutes, gzeiras melech, they are the decrees of the king. Shein tam l'davar, no reason is given. Veged kelayim, lama nemer l'pishin emer l'sil b'shatnes. It says, do not wear shatnes tzemer u'pishtim yach, the wool and linen together. Yochol le'yilbish gazi tzemer, gizei tzemer v'anitzei pishtim. I would think it means that you're not allowed to put on shearings of wool and flax stalks. Tam l'emer beged. We're not talking about shearings of wool. We're not talking about flax stalks. We're talking about a garment made of a mixture of both. Minayin l'rabes halavodim. How do we know that this includes felt clothing? Tam l'emer shatnes. Dover shushua tovu v'nuz. Anything that is processed as a garment, hackled, spun, and twined. It's a noun. where you have it spun and woven together. L'chabre, to join it, mistri in Old French, k'mechazoyin linin v'diz behein, shanam aparshim v'loshin kimush, withered, fleshed in Old French, v'loshin shatnes, perish menachem, machberes, semru pishtim, a combination of wool and linen. Now comes a few very difficult verses. Let me give a little bit of an introduction so we understand these few verses. The law in Torah is that if a man and woman commit adultery and they are warned by two witnesses that it is forbidden and they say, we don't care, we're going to do it anyway, it's possible that if everything comes down properly, it's possible that the capital punishment could be applied here, because this is a serious transgression if it's done willfully and intentionally and the warning is ignored. But that is only in a case where the woman is married in a proper marriage. If the woman is not married, then this law can never apply. Doesn't mean it's permissible, but it's not considered adultery. Adultery only applies in a case of a violation of a marriage. Now he gives an interesting scenario. What if there's someone who is a slave in the world of slavery, in a world which was filled with slavery way back then? The Torah legislated many laws to protect the slaves. Here is a situation where there is a slave woman who was owned by two masters. So each master has 50% ownership of her. There's a mitzvah for the owner of a slave to free his slave. One of these masters freed the slave woman. The other did not. Who does a slave woman marry by Torah law? Either another slave, or there is a leniency allowing a slave woman to cohabitate with a Jewish slave, with an Eved Ivri, to produce children for the master. Here's a situation where there are two masters. One liberated the slave woman and the other didn't. So that person is a half free person and a half slave. By Torah law, the slave part can marry the Jewish man, the Jewish slave, and the free part technically could also be married to the Jewish man. But part of it is a relationship of marriage, the other part is not. So what is a violation of this relationship considered? This is the very complicated law here, and I'm trying to cut to the chase in the interest of time. Verse 20. Actually, I'm going to read this verse in the Gutnik Chumash, which puts the commentary of Rashi into the verse itself, so that we have the smooth reading of this verse. If a man will lie with a woman, and he will have a seminal omission, and she is a non-Jewish slave woman who is partially married to a Jewish slave man, and she has been allowed to partially marry this Jewish slave since she has been redeemed by one of her masters, and she has not been redeemed by the other, or she has not been given a document of release by just one of her masters, then there should be an investigation to verify the above details. They should not be put to death because she has not been completely freed and thus she was not fully married. Rather, she is given lashes if that applies, like any other violation of law. So that's the gist over here. Verse 20, V'ish ki yishka v'isha. If a man sleeps with a woman, shichva zera, a sleep of intimacy, v'ish shivchon, she is a slave woman, necher epesh li'ish, betrothed to a man, and she's not been completely redeemed, or her freedom was not given to her, an investigation shall be launched, they shall not be put to death, because this is not a case of real biblical adultery, because she was not freed, and therefore this can't apply. Rashi, designated and singled out for a man. It's a unique word in the Bible. We're talking about a Canaanite slave woman, who is half slave woman, v'chetzer bas chayin, and half free woman, ha-meireses, who is betrothed le'ebedivi to a Hebrew slave, shemuta b'shif ha-kosa medaber, he is permitted to marry a slave woman, v'hafte le'nivdosa, p'duya v'eina p'duya, she is redeemed, but she's not redeemed. U'stam pidyin b'kesef, usually this happens with money, a chufsha b'shtar, or with a document, b'kedes tiyah he leika, v'leihu, she is lash, but not he. Yesh al bezin levakadis hadover. The courts have to investigate. Shalei lechai v'misa, there's clearly no death penalty. Kilei chuposha, because she was not freed. Ve'en kidushea kidushim gemurim, and her marriage is not a real marriage. V'nabeseinu lamda mikan shemishu b'malkas te b'kriya. Our rabbis learned something else from here, that in general, when the lashing of Torah is applied, an announcement is made, shadayonim amalkim, the judges who inflict the lashes, kaidin, Alaleka proclaim regarding the person who was lashed. The verse they read him, Leisishma Lases, if you will not observe to do, Behipla Hashem es Makescha, and Hashem will make your plagues wondrous, Begamer, etc. Ki Leichupash, Shalapika Chen Chayab Ala Misa, therefore, there can't be a death penalty, Shein Kidushah Kidushin, because there's no real marriage, Hayim Chupasha. But if she was freed, Kiddushah Kiddushin, then she's 100% free woman, and her marriage was a complete marriage, and there was a violation here, B'chayav Misa, and there would be, theoretically, the death penalty could be applied. 22, the last verse in this portion. B'chiper olav ha'kayin, and the Kohen will make atonement, Be'el ha'oshan, with the ram of guilt offering, Lifnei, I'm sorry, 21, I skipped 21. Behavi, thank you. Behavi es hashomei l'Hashem. So this person, this man, will bring his guilt offering to Hashem el Pesach o el Moed, to the door of the tent of meeting. El Oshem, there's a special ram of guilt offering of this unique setting, this unique scenario. Bechipra l'vakein 22. The Kohen will make atonement be el Oshem with the ram of guilt offering. Lefnei Hashem before Hashem al chatosei for his sin, asher chota which he sinned, v'nislach lei. And he will be forgiven, mechatose asherchota, from his transgression. Rashi, v'nisle mechatose asherchota, l'rabbe says hamezid kashegig. This unique law applies to one who violates it intentionally as well as unintentionally. End of this Torah portion.